This is the Power Walk Ministries broadcast with author and speaker, Reverend Paul Cannings. Thanks for joining us today as Pastor Cannings brings us the final message in this series called Redefined. This week, Pastor Cannings has been challenging us to take the time to consider, meditate on, and comprehend who the most powerful, awesome God says that we are as His people. This is specifically described for us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Let's listen now as Pastor Cannings brings us the final message in this series titled, Be the Light.
One of the greatest blessings in life is when you can raise your head and look at your children and you can say, wow, I'm so proud of our kids. And your wife and you could sit, watch them walk across the graduation stage and graduate and do well and see them raising their children and their loving on their wives and raising their children. That just makes your day. There's no greater accomplishment. And to be able to look at your children and married and doing well and prepared to do great work based on their preparation academically and say, wow. And I thought that was a wow until grandkids came and now they're perfect. They don't do nothing wrong. But that is such a blessing. That is the greatest accomplishment I know for me that ever makes there be such a heart of gladness. There's no difference when it comes to God. There's no difference. He understands that He sends us into an evil world, a world that is totally opposed to the way He thinks. So when we look at the fact that our bodies, our flesh never got saved, our minds have to be renewed. So Satan sometimes can get us going. He can say things or cause people to say things to make us do things that are displeasing to God. But when God has such an impact in our lives that we are willing to readjust our lives, be redefined by Him, be committed to the purposes that He's called us to, be committed to grow up in Him so that we will become like Him. We have taken on His nature, His personality. We have taken on His passions, His purposes. We are now like Him. The Bible is saying when that happens, we are now so redefined, so maturing, so growing for the glory of God. Doesn't mean things get easier. The apostles will have issues that would take place between Paul and Barnabas, and they fell out over Mark. Peter would have to be addressed for the manner in which he handled the Gentiles and the Jews. Doesn't mean the folks are perfect. It just means they've come to a point of maturity where God could use them to where His manifestation of His character and all He wants to accomplish through them could meet such a magnitude for the people around them that the excellent nature of God can be lifted high. And that's what Peter is saying. What he's saying here in Peter is that if we accept the redefining process, what do you mean by this redefining process? This is what Peter would say in chapter 1, verse 3. It starts off with hope in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundance mercy had begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We know that we, no matter what we face, what trials, what pain, what difficulties we would face, that when we face death, that God, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we will raised from the dead and have a place prepared for us. He will bless us when we are faithful, put a crown on us, wear a white gown. He could share His throne. We have all these things available to us. We live, as Paul would say, I'm pressing towards that mark, that hope we are living for. So because we keep that on our focus, because we are, as we started out this week, we are people who are committed to believe in Him, have a deep conviction to do what He says. That's why we become a holy nation. So He's saying we keep that hope alive. When we keep that hope alive, we stay undefiled, verse 4. When we keep that hope alive, in verse 6 he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heavenlies through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing we rejoice with joy unspeakable full of glory. Peter is saying, hey, we accepted this redefining process. And this redefining process tried us and put us through different issues that we may face in this life. But because we kept our hope alive, we are committed to the purposes of God. All it did was shape us so that the trials became a precious refining process that could lead to glory. That's why he's saying, then we could end up laying aside, chapter 2, the malice, the guile, the hypocrisy, the envy, the evil speaking. Like newborn babes, we now have a sincere milk of the word that he could grow thereby. See, now we are moving forward. And because we are moving forward in this productive way, maturating for the glory of God, accepting trials and counting them joy, and progressing forward. He says to us in chapter 2, verse 9, he says, this peculiar people, that he shew forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We show forth the excellent nature of God. In other words, when people look at us, they no longer just see us. They see the characteristics of Christ. We can love enemies, as he would talk about. If you love the Lord all your heart, your soul, and your mind, you can love your neighbor no matter who they are. They can see, wait a minute, man, this person, they have a consistent way of living. Why? The word of God is truth. And the word of God causes us to walk steadfast in the faith. This person is consistently a person of integrity, a person that is committed to the truth, a person that is sincere about what they believe, because you see it in their life. The Bible says the excellent nature of God starts to come out of us. So people start to say, man, Christ lives. Oh, man, yes. This Jesus Christ they're talking about, he's real. I see it in this person's life. When I watch how that neighbor loves his wife, how the wife loves her husband, how you watch their children, how their family functions. Man, I was sick. They came and mowed my yard. When I was broken because I lost my mom, they brought me dinner. They were kind people. The excellent nature of Christ becomes more and more manifested when we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We do peculiar things. See, our team of people serving over 200 cars a day during the pandemic, knowing they could possibly get the virus, are peculiar people. They keep doing these strange things. And Peter would say they would actually go to these lions, knowing that they will be eaten, but they will not give up on this Christ. They could have such a deep conviction of this Christ that they would do that. You say, yeah, what it brings out is the very nature you saw in Christ. I must be about my Father's business, even though they're beating him, spitting on him, even though they would nail him to a cross, put a hole in his side, nails in his hands, he would still say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what Peter is saying. We become just like that in suffering, as he would say later on in chapter 2, verse 21 through verse 25. These people, because they're committed to the purposes of God, demonstrate the supreme nature of God. And that's why he says, who had called you out of darkness? Called you out of evil, out of ignorance, out of having no heart for God, spiritually dead. That's what darkness means. I place a divine call on you. Say, no, that's what preachers get called. No, he says, no. You're a chosen generation. I brought you to become a testimony to the world. I brought you so that you can be light. But he didn't just bring us to get saved. I got my fire insurance taken care of. I'm going to heaven. He's calling it a marvelous light, which means he brings us to spiritual understanding of God's word. He brings us to a lifestyle that is representative of being a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. He could bring us into a chosen generation, a group of people that don't see racism and don't they just see human beings that need to be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So they become a light to a hateful world. They become a light to a world as a holy nation that is set aside to living the characteristics of Christ in a productive manner. They become a marvelous light. This is an unquenchable light. When a person has allowed God to redefine them, they continue to be the light to the world. Nothing stops them. You could beat Paul. I'm still going to keep pressing towards the mark. Their mindset is different because it's been redefined. I no longer live. He's redefined. He's a constant light. So this light is unquenchable. He says that's the kind of people when they really find, that's how strong, that's how purposeful, that's how powerful, that's how productive they are. They cannot be deterred because they demonstrate the very nature of Christ that could not be deterred. But they're not perfect. That's why he says, I got to give you mercy. You need this mercy to keep on because we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to do everything right all the time. He said, if a person says they have no sin, they just committed the first one at least because they just lied. The truth is not in them. Now, folks, we stretch towards this mark. He redefines us. But when we mess up, he extends to us mercy. So I pray that we would allow God to redefine us. Not let society and cultures and different nationalities and political orientations and what we may feel so cause us to not represent the excellent nature of God because we are committed to be redefined. We're committed to love people who may not even like us. We're committed to let God define how we love because he is love. So if we're going to love somebody, he defines how we love them. That's why we display his nature, because no matter who hated him, he still kept obeying what God says, so he kept loving them. This is what becomes the light to the world. This is what raises up Christ so he draws all men to him. This is what makes a difference in our own hearts, in our own families, in our own church families, and in our communities, is when Christ redefines us to be just like him. Stay focused.
Amen, Pastor Kennings. This is not a quenchable light. Let's be the light that shines brightest, especially when faced with choices each day that pressure us to conform to things that clearly are in opposition to God's Word. Now, for a copy of this message series, or to browse through our other resources by Pastor Kennings, please log on to powerwalkministries.org.
You know, Power Walk Ministries seek to support itself by the books and the materials that God has blessed us to be able to minister to your life and to strengthen, to equip you spiritually to be productive. And that's the way we develop support for this ministry. So we feel that if we touch your life, then that will lead to us touching other lives. So go to our website at www.powerwalkministries.org and participate in our ministry, because when you do so, it goes to serving other people, not just on radio, but around the world in conferences, in terms of equipping pastors and their wives, etc. So join us, partnership with us, and be blessed at the same time by going to our website and becoming a part of our ministry.
That's powerwalkministries.org. And while you're there, look for Pastor Kenning's newest release, Disciples in the Making. This guide also comes with a student workbook, making it especially easy for one-on-one or group discipleship. If you'd prefer to call us, our number is 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. And now remember, you're a chosen, consecrated person. As we truly believe in our new identity in Christ, let's be sure to reflect that to the world around us.